Welcome to Meeple to Meeple, uniting players around the world. A 30-minute exploration of PJ and Gareth's four-game experiences from across both sides of the Atlantic. Each episode, they share their thoughts and opinions on the world of board games, including their favourite themes, games, hot topics, and much, much more.
Hey guys, and welcome to episode 78. We're going to talk about unplayed games. Or your shelf of shame. As always, I'm PJ.
And I'm Gareth.
And we...
shelves of opportunities.
Or things. We are
here. Or whichever we're going to talk about.
Right. We are here. We are back. We are together. And it's great. Good to see you, as always.
Hi.
Hey. So, yeah, we were talking about, you know, just... What are we going to talk about this week, right?
We're going to talk about the many piles of games that I have on my shelf, or most often on the floor,
yeah,
and where you excel of not having any, which is those games that have been not been played.
You know, that's why this conversation, this topic was compelling, because you and I tackle it very differently. But I thought we would talk about not just how many unplayed games you have and why. But I thought about extrapolating and talking about strategies for getting rid of your unplayed game, not getting rid of, playing your unplayed games, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Things that, you know, our listeners can be like, oh, I should start doing that. I mean, the obvious one is invite me to your house for a week, right? I mean, that's...
I still don't think it'd help based on when I go through some of the things that are unplayed.
Yeah.
And how long they've been unplayed for.
You know, it's kind of... It's true, because I visited you and we didn't play anything you didn't play.
There we go, you see?
Yeah.
Failed.
Yeah.
So I do think it requires some dedicated focus. Yeah. Like, there's a set of games, the Facade games, that has been an ongoing joke between me and Nick, Board Game Review UK, yeah, for about 3 years, because they've been on my shelf for a long time. And I think we've now nearly played all of them, only because every time I go visit, I put them in the bag. And we've now managed to do three, which, as I love stats, Tortuga 1667, mm-hmm, which I played with Nick 2 weeks ago,
yep,
was on my shelf of shame for 2,627 days.
Ooh.
Which, if I just grab my calculator, is 7.1 years.
That's a long time.
I've got worse, which we'll cover later.
So, okay.
Anyone can beat that. Put that in the comments.
Mm.
We're currently at 7 years, a game that sat on my shelf.
7 years, wow. So, man, there's a lot of ways to start this conversation.
Where do you want to go?
I know.
Well, I guess people call it shelf of shame.
Yep.
You've done some research.
I did.
In your kind of analytical minds.
Yep.
Do you want to share kind of what you found, and we can make some others up as we go along?
Sure. So I reached out to some folks on Instagram, some friends of mine here in the Springfield area. And I was like, okay, shelf of shame. All right. What do you call? And I made sure to ask the question as diplomatically as possible. What do you call your shelf of unplayed games? Right. And I got 6 different answers. Right. And there's no judgment on any of these answers. This is just what people choose to call their own show. Because, as you know, this can be divisive, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some people get emotional about it. So the obvious one, we'll get it out of the way quickly. Your shelf of shame, right?
Yeah.
You know, yes, I understand the implications that you're somehow shaming yourself for not playing a game. I get that. And that's the origins. I use it for the alliteration. It's just easy to say, right? However, the next one works just as well. And I think I may adopt it. I think it's a good one. And that is your shelf of shrink.
Oh, yeah. See, Nick, mm-hmm, referenced. That's 2 call outs.
There we go.
He calls it that. And I think that's a lovely name. But it has got some bits we'll talk about in a minute that, yeah, I find challenging.
So the idea is that the game is still wrapped in shrink wrap. So
I can't cope with that.
It's your shelf of shrink, right? You're right.
I have to open the box.
No, that's the problem. Is
I,
you
I open, can't
the
not open the
box.
I want to see the shiny bits.
And that's something we'll talk about too in a minute.
Yeah.
Now recently we're seeing a lot more people call it their shelf of opportunity. because it's a future opportunity to play the game. I get that. I like it. I understand trying to get away from the shame emotion, but okay, I like that. Now here's one. I thought this one was okay. It's a little on the nose, but sure. Shelf of unplayed purchases, and I'm like, that's what you.
I love it.
I'm like, is that really that's what you call it? Yes.
What it is. Yeah.
I'm like, talk oh, about it. Yeah. This is where my unplayed purchases currently are shelved. I'm like, okay, all right, very good. It's not very original, but you know what? There it is. The next one I really like. It was an interesting explanation. Whew. Shelf of overflow.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, some people do limit themselves. Like, I'm only ever having 100 board games, or I'm only having games where I have physically put them on the shelf.
Yes.
And if you go over, you've got overflow.
Right.
Nice.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. Now, the last one, well, I guess it's not the last one, because I just came up with one on my own, and I'm going to share that one last. Someone said they call it their shelf of culling.
See?
Yeah.
See, I get that's probably similar to the overflow, that if I haven't played it, do I get rid of it? Most of the time, there is, well, come to why do these shelves grow? We're covering them in a minute, but time. But
right,
okay,
right. So that's another one. It's like, okay, so these are games you've not played that you're planning on selling because you haven't played them in a long time, and that's why they call it that. I'm like, okay, I accept that as a plausible explanation. Now, the last one is the one I just came up with while we were talking. So this is never before revealed. Okay. So I'm taking a term from my work. How about this? Your shelf of backlog.
Backlog.
Yeah.
I like it.
So because,
I'll write this down.
Because I'm an archivist, records that have not yet been processed in our collection.
Is that what they're called?
It's the backlog. You have all this work that you have to do, but it's your backlog. And so I was like, your shelf of backlog. There we go. So yeah,
I've just asked ChatGPT to come up with 10. Literally while I've been chatting. Do you want to hear the query was, provide me a few names for board games that I have too many of. An example would be Shelf of Shame. Pile of Potential.
Ooh.
Nice. Stack of Shame.
Now, I like the alliteration, though.
Unplayed Treasure Troves.
Ooh.
Board Game Backlog Bonanza.
Oh!
Look at you setting a trend. Oh, I like this one. The Shelf of Unfinished Stories. Game Graveyard.
Oh.
Boxed Adventures Awaiting.
Eh.
Dice Dungeon of Neglect. Unexplored Territory Table.
Okay.
Oh, the Library of Lost Plays.
Ooh.
Anyway, there's a bit of AI-generated content for us.
So, Gareth, tell us, what is in your Library of Lost Plays?
So, if anyone hasn't ever checked out, there's a website called geekgroup.app, which you connect to Board Game Geek, and it is a treasure trove of statistics. Like, it's brilliant, and it has a whole section for Shelf of Shame. You can even rename the section depending on what you want to call it.
So you could now call it your Library of Lost.
I know, you can have your opportunity or shame.
Oh, but okay,
but you know, but it does allow you to have a preference. So it tells me there's 134 games on my Shelf of Shame, which I then went, oh, that's more than I thought. But then I looked, and it's because I've logged loads of games, freebies, samples. I've removed about 50. So there's about 80 games on my Shelf of Shame Opportunity Shrink.
Okay.
That's a lot. How many is on yours?
And we're going to talk about this later. Zero.
Zero.
Correct.
Good.
Yeah.
I feel shame. I've just for shame.
No, see.
the lowest my shelf of shame has ever been was October 2021. Now, COVID did a lot for unplayed game for shelf of shame.
Yes, absolutely.
So it was down at 89. So that's the top level stats.
So let me ask a question.
Yeah.
You removed 50. You said 134. You removed 50 and went down to 84.
Yeah.
Could you say a little more about those 50 games? Why were they removed? And what criteria did you use to remove them from consideration?
So they're either already in the pile of games to sell.
Okay.
Because I invested and they haven't hit the table. So okay. they have been culled or overflowed or whatever we called it earlier.
Okay.
And then there's, for example, there's a pack of these little mini car games where you get 10 games in the pack.
Okay.
And I've played like two of them. The rest I wouldn't be interested in. But all eight are selected as being unplayed.
Are these are like promos or something? That
yeah, just... or like kids games we've had when there's like
okay.
there's little packs of games sure. and you get extra bits in it. So they're all, yeah, or there's been promos, or there's been games I've been given either for free or for review that I've played as like a test, you know, for like Kickstarters. But I've logged the game in my collection, but actually it's not complete. It's not a finished copy. So I could probably do culling my actual games collection out.
Okay.
I was looking at the most recent games to drop off that list. And there's some interesting bits. So the games that have been added to that list and then have dropped off.
Okay.
So the most recent game was Wingspan Asia.
Mm.
That obviously came with the Wingspan box. That was only played 21st of April. So a week ago today.
Okay.
That sat on the shelf for 527 days.
Okay. So about a year and a half.
Which the reason for that was because it ended up being inside the big Wingspan box, which then ended up coming upstairs to the... So all of the big box games
right.
that have become excessive come upstairs into the office.
So,
and it's out of sight,
yeah.
which might be one of the problems.
So you and I have both implemented this same strategy, right? Is our collections in our basement. However, the large box games, like Wingspan and the Nesting Box.
Yeah.
I think the problem is that they're in your office, correct?
Yeah.
So they are out of sight, whereas ours are in our living room. So
I've had this argument, not argument, that's the wrong words. I've had the discussion with my wife.
Okay.
And that wasn't approved.
Okay. Okay. That's fair. Well,
I've tried the, well, we could put them downstairs and we could see them all the time in sure. the lounge.
Right. So we have a 2x4 Kallax grid. In the in the living room.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're filled with also Frosthaven, Gloomhaven, the Nesting Box for Wingspan, the large Western Legends box, Isopharian Guard, which is so big it doesn't actually fit in an actual Kallax cube.
That isn't. There's a couple of those.
So it sits up on the top.
On top, yeah.
So, you know, we have a few others like that. So if we want to... if we have more than four people over, because our game table in our basement only accommodates four comfortably. So if we're going to have five people over, we're going to play upstairs. We'll grab those. So yeah, I think that's a contributing factor to a game, being in your shrink, shame, opportunity backlog.
Yeah. Come up with a funky name.
Yeah.
The other four games was Harrow County, which was in hit the table within 13 days.
So well, that game arrived when you picked us up from the train station
that day, and it hit the table a week and a half later. And we played it again today, and I love it. Tortuga, I've mentioned.
Yep.
Stone Spine Architects,
mm-hmm.
16 days, and then the last one off the games of the shame pile was Cathedral of Onio, which was 93 days, and then it went straight on the sale pile. Because I didn't enjoy it.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
So, Katie's, one of her favorite games is Orléans.
Oh, yeah, same.
But Cathedral of Orléans?
It's two family. Even Carrie said to me, this is a family game. Why? Because I said, well, I like Orléans. It sounded fun, but if you had kids or probably newer gamers would find it okay.
So why didn't you bring it up last week when we talked about family games?
Because it's in the pile to be sold.
I love it. So how about the game in your backlog?
Yeah.
That's been there the longest.
Okay. So I just need to get a calculator.
Okay.
So it's the longest game is 3,731 days, which is, let's be honest, over 10 years without being on the calculator.
Wow.
So it's a game called Burning Suns, which I only spoke about to the gaming group in Southampton a week ago.
Okay.
It was a Kickstarter that took a long time to arrive because the designer, who I now unfortunately forget his name, first-time designer, Kickstarter, but he was also in the army and would end up being called off to do work.
Right.
And would just vanish. Mm. And he had a few challenges with the production. It's basically a mixture of Eclipse, Twilight Struggle, kind of space sim.
Okay. Okay.
Beautiful. Components are all, it's a beautiful game. And I think when I invested in it, I thought we get it to the table, and we just haven't. However, with the larger gaming group, I believe we can. I do believe we can get this done.
Mm.
Looking at the rest of the games, there's Clinic, Small City, and Tramways are in the top five. And they're all by the same designer.
Oh, okay.
Which is Alban Viard. Now, Clinic got a reskin. It got republished. They're all heavyweight games. Now, I have played Clinic solo, but I haven't logged it because I haven't played it with anyone else. But they are all heavy, complex games. And interestingly, those two are upstairs next to me right now.
Of course they are.
So maybe that might be the problem. But they are heavy, like 4.4s, like, you know, super top-end complexity. Not very pretty, but they are good designs. Other games are just games that, for some reason, March of the Ants, I refuse to get rid of, 2,864 days, where you're running an ant colony. I've learnt it. And a lot of these games I have learnt, somehow just never got to the table.
So it begs the question.
It says Lisboa's not been played. That means I've missed actually logging the game because we have played that.
Yeah.
There's a data error. these aren't acceptable.
So it begs the question before we move forward. So what is an ant? What's an ant farm?
March of the Ants.
March of the Ants. Okay.
March of the Ants.
You said specifically about this game, you refuse to get rid of it. It's 7 or 8 years on your list.
But every time I think about it, I go, I haven't played that game. And every time I learn the rules and think, oh, this game's really good. But somehow, I don't know how. So I was thinking a minute ago, I wrote this down a bit next to me. What I used to do would stick small post-it, sticky post-it notes onto the games.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever I looked at, when we sit here watching you play tonight, I'd end up sticking post-it, you know, looking at the post-it notes going, well, I haven't played these. But then you think, oh, do I really want to learn a new game?
Okay.
And whether through lockdown, when we have more time to learn and then play, but we need to schedule it. I need to literally say, right, this month we're going to tackle Burning Suns, or we're going to tackle March of the Ants.
Watch
the video and play it. But what's even worse, and we'll come back to this in a minute, but I put all of my expansions inside the main box.
I try to if I can, yes.
But then I forget that I've had expansions.
Okay.
So how the hell do I track my shelf of unplayed expansions?
Oh, because I don't. That's not a consideration.
But I've definitely got expansions I've bought. I've put them into the main box, and we've not played. I've never played the expansion.
Okay, you know what? That's fair. So Taverns of Tiefenthal, right? Yeah. Okay, so like, it comes with all the different. That's modules. That's not expansions.
But even what? But you buy modules, didn't you?
Yes. And we haven't. We haven't played them all yet.
So Orléans, that's the Plague expansion that came out,
which we don't have.
Which I have purchased. And it's in the box.
So you haven't played it yet.
Because you forget. I need to make.
So my question to you would be, my question to you is, if you were to go ahead and play Orléans tonight, you open up the box, the play expansion's in there. Obviously we all do this. You make the decision to include the Plague expansion or not.
I reckon we wouldn't because we'd go there. Oh, just remind ourselves of the base rules to make sure that we've got. Well, maybe we would. I think the base rules we know really well anyway. But that comes back to, should you follow the shelf of shrink and that box remains
so
shrink? But then I go, yeah, but I've got to keep space is limited. So I pour it in a box and go, no one knows because it's vanished. There's no more box. But I forget.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because, you know, so I'm looking at Tang Garden right now. Right.
Ooh, that's got more content coming, isn't it?
Yes, it does. But it also has a big box. So you know where it's going. It's going upstairs.
There's.
But I'm thinking about, I'm listening to you talk about expansions. And then I was thinking, but designers are starting to create these big boxes to fill everything in. So it's in one box. And one of the things I love about that is. I can put the boxes on my wall as art. So, right. Like these are all the struggles. I think we all experience. And it's like, what do you do?
Cause that is, I think we've talked about before, but when I first started gaming, let's say 12 years ago, properly, all the boxes were generally either the rectangular size or the square size.
Right.
Then Kickstarter came along and then we've now got mega boxes and big boxes. So Wingspan would have been one box and maybe it could have got in the expansions. And I do tuck expansion boxes behind the back of a Calyx because there's always a bit of depth space.
Oh, sure.
But yeah, the game collection space is actually now filled with bigger boxes. So like we've done, we've put them in their own zone, which we're both lucky to do.
Yeah.
I wonder that. See, like Board Game Stats, the app, you can obviously track.
Right.
It's got sections where you can create challenges like your Shelf of Opportunity or Shelf of Shame. Mm-hmm. But I've never actually thought to look about expansions. I expect it does.
Yeah.
That might be really bad.
Or really good. I mean, it just depends on how you view your game collection, right?
I'm gonna have to go through. I think it's quite an interesting one.
Yeah.
I quite like the idea of post-its. I have to do that again.
I just remind me
that I haven't played them. It'll bring it to the mind of Gareth.
So should we talk about strategies for getting your unplayed games played or keeping your board game backlog? Because I want to own that, and I think we should all call it that. I think because it's still alliteration, board game backlog. It's two words, not three. And it's accurate. So should we talk about strategies for getting your unplayed games played and reducing your backlog, your board game backlog, to as close to zero as possible? Should we talk about that?
Yeah. I mean,
because I have strategies that I think would help people. Like we said,
stop buying would be maybe a strategy.
Yes.
I'm far better.
Yeah.
I mean, Kickstarter, I think most people I talk to now have learned the Kickstarter. You know, you don't have to have the FOMO and let things go.
I will say this, travel international. Having had the experience of visiting England, I want to travel more. So say goodbye to Kickstarter.
Okay. Yeah. So you are reinvesting the funds to a different project.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think, yeah, I think so. Carrie isn't a massive fan of learning new games.
Sure.
Whereas I love learning new games. I just get a kick out of getting a game on the table and learning it. And that's half the battle. On some of these games, I have learnt and gone, oh, this is brilliant. And then I've gone to teach it and it's like, oh, I don't want to learn another game. So then you get out Orléans and we play a game that everyone knows.
Mm-hmm.
But then that game, you've forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
You know, unless you apply the game to memory, or at least have a go.
Right.
Like we were talking about the Gallerist earlier before we started recording.
Yeah.
Where you hadn't played it for a while and it took you a couple of hours. Mm-hmm. But the next time you played it was an hour.
Yeah.
So I think that's sometimes a problem. And then another game arrives and so you're like, well, which one to get to the table? But I do find the board game stats app with the challenges the best one.
Yeah.
Because I go through, I think the list is like 82 currently. And then I just say to Carrie, what do you fancy playing? And then we pick one.
Right.
So not buying is a good idea.
Yeah. I mean, okay, yes. But if people stop buying board games, then there's no point in listening to our podcast anymore because they're not buying games. Therefore, they're not, well, I mean, they could be playing games, but putting that aside, I'm not going to suggest you do whatever you want with your money. I'm not here to tell you how to you buy, but okay, you're going to buy games. Your behavior is not going to change, but you want to get that backlog to zero.
Yeah.
Here's a couple of things that Katie and I do to maintain a zero backlog, right? And to be fair, the longest we've had a game in our backlog in the past 2 years has been 12 days.
12 days.
12 days. So we try to maintain a backlog of zero.
And if you, let's say a game came in today and you played it, let's say within 12 days, how quickly does that game come back to the table?
So are you always
trying to keep up on the unplayed pile, but actually the games...
Oh, yeah.
You're not playing other games.
So the first thing we do is we open a game and play it. I mean, I know that sounds simple and silly, but you don't have a backlog if you purchase a game and you play it. It is no longer in your unplayed backlog. Now, that resets for us. It resets.
Oh yeah, because you have, that's a great strategy.
At the beginning of the new year. So on January 1, our backlog is, well, I mean, the whole idea of the backlog is these are games that you've never played, right? But we try to play every single game in our collection a minimum one time each calendar year.
Minimum one time.
Yeah. And to be fair, sometimes we play a game just to play it and tick it off the list.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and so we've been doing this for, this is our third year, and we're usually between 95 and 97% of our collection is played. So, well, PJ, what about that 3% unplayed? So that's when we evaluate whether or not the first question is, why hasn't it hit our table? And we do this every year. And this is kind of like a holiday tradition, right? On New Year's Eve, before we go out and do whatever, or get together with the family or something, we kind of look at our statistics and we're like, okay, because we still have time. We could play Unearth and get it off our list. Well, why haven't we played it, right?
Yeah.
And so there are mitigating circumstances sometimes, right? Campaign games we put off to the side because it may not hit the table this year, but it might next year.
Yeah, yeah.
Because campaign games take more investment in time, right? So, like Gloomhaven, right? We haven't played Gloomhaven in 2 years.
Yeah.
but we played Gloomhaven through twice. So it's like, you know, we're still debating on what to do with it. Here's another one. Although this requires more skill than many people have, I certainly don't, is if you're not going to play a game anymore and you don't feel like selling it, you can use the components of the game to make crafts to decorate your house.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, I think, you know, legacy games are great. You can't play them ever again.
Legacy games. Yep. I mean, any prototypes I get that the designers don't want back, I'll do. Right. I'll break down your components.
Mm-hmm.
What I've got now is like this massive zip bag full of wooden things.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to get a jar, like a jar to put them all in and like make a glass like an ornament. Like a glass jar.
So here's what you do.
You've got like a box frame or something, haven't you?
We do. We've got some shadow boxes and various.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, yeah.
So you know what you do is you ship it over, box your components over, send them to me, and Katie and I will put something. Tell us what you want, and we'll put it together. And that's our Christmas gift, right? You just send us the components.
That sounds like not great use of carbon mileage.
Well, I know, but I know.
But it's a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could definitely do so because I've got bags of it in the cupboard under the stairs where there's loads of things unplayed. I was just looking at my other challenges, and one thing that we're trying to do is play all our games at least 5 times.
Wow. But you have a large collection,
55% of the way there, which I was quite impressed by. Yeah, and in there is the games that haven't been sold. So
okay,
yeah.
So so our stat for the year is we're at 47.2% of our entire collection played once.
That is good going. Because
we're not even in May yet, which is the fifth month. So we will clearly be beyond 50% of our collection before the year is 50% up. So, and we just picked up new games. I know that. So last year I did a live and posted on Instagram. I didn't do it this year. We had our used game sale at Titan.
Oh, yeah.
Last weekend.
What'd you pick up?
So, well, first of all, we
didn't.
We made out like bandits. Like, we got a lot of store credit. We sold almost everything.
Did you?
We did, yeah. We had 20 games and we sold 18. So
that's pretty good game.
And we did really well. We picked up a used copy of First in Flight.
Nice.
Which is fantastic. It's already hit the table 3 times. So you see, there is, we definitely pick up a game and play it. I've been wanting to tell you this. It's not for this discussion, but I'll tell you right now on air anyway. We picked up Hamlet. The deluxe version.
Yeah.
That game is cool. Yeah. We've only played it once, but very cool. And then just recently we picked up a copy of Abduction, which I knew Katie was going to be. Rubber Duckies in Space.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That one. Yeah. I was trying to think, was it Abduction? Or
Abduction.
Abduction.
Yep.
Yeah.
It is great. Yeah. And we played it a couple of times. And then we picked up Harmonies. I've just started seeing people posting it on Instagram. Yeah, it's, you've got these little wooden tiles.
Yeah. I've seen it. It's popped up in the shops this week, I think.
Yes.
It's appeared in all of the, I don't know much about it. It looked really pretty.
It is pretty. Yeah. But it's cool. It's a little strategic. And yeah, good. Yeah, we enjoy that. So those were our acquisitions. Yeah, it's rated. It's rated.
You see.
Yeah, it's rated 2.08. Yeah. So you see, we have no backlog. Every game's been played from the beginning.
I think a strategy has to be a focus list.
Yes.
You just got to get, like, I'm really up for trying Burning Suns. It's not that complicated.
Well,
I'm so vested in it that I've got to play it.
You've got to play it.
It was such a kickstart. Right. Okay. next time we discuss this topic, I'm seeing what weight it is. I remind myself 3.33, you see, 80. We always talk about games. We were looking for games best with 5. This is best with 5.
Oh. I mean, it's. There you go.
Designed for the group. Designed. Emil Larson was the designer. Intense science fiction. No, it's also, that's the other challenge. Carrie's not a massive space fan.
She doesn't like science fiction.
She says that. There are many exceptions to this rule, but tactical 4X thematic action. Burning Suns is not a traditional 4X game. It takes 4X actions and gives you complete tactical control.
Ooh.
Create an empire, galaxies in motion.
Ooh.
Your empire, your strategy. Like, the Kickstarter came with another pack of the same characters with slightly different asymmetric roles. So not only was there like 15 anyway, he tweaked them to have 30 with all their own unique. I see. Remember that the ships are molds.
Yeah.
And then the ship is on top of the ship is a little holder for a die. So it might be a triangular for like a D4 or a D6 or a D8. And that's kind of their hit points. Or might have been their power. I mean, this is a long time ago.
Right.
It'll look brilliant. I think they even sat on little standees. So
come on. That's awesome. And you have a game group that fits the 5-player count.
Yeah, and fits the space theme.
And likes the space theme, yeah. So do you think, I guess the last question to consider, is it just that there's too many games?
Yeah.
I mean, is that the reality?
I think a lot of the games that are unplayed in my collection was from when I was building the collection and was a little bit looser on what to invest in.
Sure.
So most of the games that are unplayed are from 5 or 6, 7 years ago.
Which is why there's 7, 8, 9.
Which is, yeah. Whereas a more modern game is more of a considered purchase, and probably I've become wiser in what I invest in.
I mean, that's a fair point. And you can still get burnt today.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not as often
anymore.
You just have to be more discerning in your purchases, commit to playing your entire collection a minimum of once a year.
That's a great shout. Because somebody else was doing the alphabet challenge.
Yep.
That's another way to try to...
But that's a problem. That's a problem, because if I have 5 games that start with the letter D and only play one of them, what about the others? I got to play them too, you know?
Well, you could do alphabet challenge and play your games, your collection, and probably hit 2 challenges in one.
I do think that restricting the size of your collection is helpful. And
I seriously considered it recently, having a cull, really brutal cull.
Mm-hmm. So I can't speak for anyone else. I can only speak for Katie and I. We are 2 people, married couple, both gamers. So, you know, most of the games we play are going to hit the table, because we're always looking for it. We have a lot of the same. We're open to playing anything, right? So, but 250 games seems to be kind of our max. I mean, there's a little leeway. We might go 255, you know, whatever, but we're not afraid to sell a game. We're not afraid to give a game away. There we are. So, yeah.
I'm going to go investigate expansions.
So we're going to
get Burning. That's my commitment, is to Burning Suns. Played within this quarter.
So before UKGE, how about that?
Okay.
You could do that.
It's 4 weeks.
You could do that. That's a month. You could do that.
Thank you for the confidence.
I know you could do that, because I know your gaming group. I met them.
Southampton Gaming Group. We need to make this happen.
There it is.
I'll send the rules video around.
So we're going to get rid of Shelf of Shame. We're going to get it out of our vocabularies, and we're going to call it your board game backlog. By the way, that's the
Bonanza,
title.
Bonanza with the AI.
Well...
Game backlog bonanza.
No,
that's rubbish. Board game backlog.
Board game backlog. Like, by the way, that's the title of this episode.
I've just noted that down.
Episode 78. Board game backlog.
I've got quite a backlog as well.
Yeah, but you get through it. We all will. And then, if push comes to shove, have me over to your house, put me out for the weekend. That's all we will play is your backlog.
Maybe that's a con. Maybe there was a convention where you can only play games that you haven't played. As in, not turn up and play games you've not played before, but play games that you bring your Shelf of Shame. You bring your board game backlog, top 3.
Backlog con UK.
Everyone works together. everyone works together to clear the backlog.
And everyone only brings one game, because I think the problem too is you all get together and you bring like 12 of your games and then you don't play any of them because...
Yeah, we play the same games because it's right. time.
I get it.
Board game backlog.
Board game backlog.
Well, anyone who's listening, please put a chat.
Yeah.
I think I'll do a poll, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'll put the options and people can vote for their favorite, what they call it.
Okay.
I'll write down the 7 or 6 you said at the beginning, yeah. See where we go. Don't forget to subscribe.
And like.
The post. All the other things you do, if you don't already. Thank you for listening.
Yeah.
PJ, cracking topic this week.
Yeah.
Maybe we should talk about our most played games. Let's do that next week.
I love it. Yeah. Let's do that.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. See you soon.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. Please subscribe. And as always, we'd love to hear your thoughts and ideas. So make sure to leave those in the comments. And don't forget, you can also chat with us both on Instagram @MeepleToMeeple.